Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DestoForAuths.com video games podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by Lids, the largest hat selection anywhere. So Lids offers the largest online inventory of college and professional sports hats and apparel, along with top brands from companies like Nike, Adidas, Reebok, New Era, Kangol, and Zephyr. If you're interested in hats or college sports footwear and apparel and shit, please click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banners on the site and go check out Lids. Lids, they got hats. Well, we don't have hats, we do have our own stuff. So head over to DestoProducts.com/store and check out some of that stuff. As always, we're looking for new design, art, and ideas. So if you have some, please don't hesitate to send them to BobbyWarren@DestoProducts.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If you have some art and we'd like it, we'll make it into put on a bunch of products and we'll pay you based on how well those products sell. If you have a design idea, we'd love to hear from you, but unfortunately we won't be able to pay you if we use it. We'll credit you, but we can't pay you. Sorry. That is, again, BobbyWarren@DestoProducts.com or the t-shirt design thread on the forums. I'm your host, Deadman. Joining today, as always, we have BobbyWarren.
Hello. I just smacked my mic stand. That's a good start.
Yeah, it's fine. I knocked mine over.
Yeah, but so that wasn't during recording.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing alright. I might have a shit ton of video editing to do tonight, but... might. I have a shit ton of video editing to do tonight, but...
Yeah. I have something to do, too. I got James stuff to do. It must have been like fucking 3 weeks since I've done a fucking Walking Dead video.
I have to actually, like, do work video editing, which is considerably harder than doing Let Me Play That For You's.
Oh, yeah, I know. But still, it's editing.
Yep. Yep.
Want to hear what I've been playing?
Absolutely. Let's hear what you've been playing.
So, first up, I played some more Spec Ops The Line.
Ooh, I have only heard good things about that game.
There are sticky grenades in this game. I stuck a guy.
Did the game make you feel bad about it?
The game didn't, but I certainly did. So, do you know how, like, in Halo, when you, like, stick a guy with a plasma grenade, like especially a, like, grunt, like, run, like, run, like, a crowd of people and blow themselves up, and it's hilarious?
Yeah.
The exact same thing happens in Spec Ops The Line.
I'm guessing it's less hilarious.
You stick a guy, he's like, oh, what the fuck? Oh, God, I'm gonna fuck it. Then he runs into a crowd of people and blows up. And it made me feel bad. I was like, oh, God, I'm a horrible person. Like, seriously, this... So, in like, Halo, they play it for laughs. It's like, oh, look, he's stuck with the little stupid fuckers. And then I look at him run. This was like, oh, God, you just like, fucking stuck a person. And now they are, like... There is no way, there's basically no way they can escape from this. You have to now watch them as they run around screaming in panic as they know they're going to die and count down the seconds toward it. This game is basically just saying fuck you at every step of the way.
Yeah, everything I've heard about this game is like, you could do all these horrible things, but then it makes you feel terrible for doing them.
Yeah, I know. Actually, a friend of the site, Greg Carter and Corey Rydell, for their Critical Miss comic, they actually did a really just like a three-panel fucking amazing like characterization of that game. It's like, hey, shoot this guy, shoot the person. You are a horrible person.
I saw that one. It was great.
If you're not reading Critical Miss, fucking read Critical Miss. It's amazing.
Absolutely, I give it my thumbs up of endorsement as well.
Yeah, it. And you actually hear him, like, screaming the entire time, like, oh, God, I'm gonna die! Like, just screaming horribleness, and. it's drowned out a bit, you know, through all the firefighting and stuff, but you have to take a look. You have to take a second, like, watch it, like, try to listen to what he's saying. You just get a horrible feeling about everything that you're doing as a person. And I love it. I have a feeling like the game peaked with the White Phosphorus stuff, but you know it could only get better from here.
Everyone I've talked to about this game tells me that the White Phosphorus is like the big thing of the game.
That's kind of the scene where you're like, oh fuck. That's the second where you, like, know for a fact what kind of game this is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're kind of an idiot, like, you know, most people who, like, buy like, modern military shooters, and just, like, playing through is, like, not realizing anything is happening, and then, like, the second you do the white phosphorus scene, you just know. And you just immediately start spiraling downward ever further into just horribleness. So yeah, feel good game of the year. Yeah, that I do love this game. It's fucking amazing. If I find a proper way to do it, I might do let me play that for you of it. I haven't entirely decided yet. It's possible, but I'm not entirely sure yet.
Well, if I get this game in the near future, I will most definitely do video of it. So we'll race. So you guess there first.
Yeah. We could do a ridicule of the horrible multiplayer aspect of it. Assuming you get it on, if you get it on PC. Which is where I have it. Anyway. So you get a PC. I also played some Hawken.
Hawken, yes. I could actually play that now. Probably.
Yeah. I was not that big a fan of it. It's like the entire selling point of the game is, oh hey, it's like an FPS, but you're in a mech. That's fun and shit. But you're in a mech. And everyone else is in a mech. So it's like, hey, you know what all the other first person you used to play? Imagine that way slower.
Yeah, that's the one thing I noticed is like, it kind of reminded me of the one Xbox 360 Wolfenstein game of like, all your steps move your reticle so goddamn, and it's just like, but it really seals the idea of mechs are the most impractical idea ever.
Yeah, unless they're like fucking Gundam mechs.
They look cool, but for all we could actually do with mechs, they're really impractical.
Oh, like, there are some games that actually, make playing the mech, like, feel, like, you know, like, actually good, you know, like, some of the Gundam games do it, Trenched had did a pretty good job of it, like, even though you're in a mech, even though you're, like, a giant mech, or sorry, Iron Brigade, I guess, whatever the fuck the game is called now. There was some weird, like, snafu with the naming in Europe or something, so they had to change the name. I'm pretty sure it's now Iron Brigade. You're, like, in Iron Brigade, you were in just, like, a trench with legs, but it still felt pretty good playing it. But with this, it's just so fucking slow and cumbersome. Every step you take just, like, starts shaking your entire HUD all over the place. And while it is cool, they managed to, totally work your HUD into the actual cockpit of a mech. You know, with, like, your ammo count down in the corners and, like, actual LED displays. And same with, like, your fuel gauge. Yeah, like, you have a fuel gauge on there that deals with launching yourself into the air with, like, a jetpack and other stuff. It all just felt so goddamn slow. And the aiming just felt off. Everything just felt off about that game. Everything just felt a couple seconds slower than it should be for me to have fun with that game. I know some people are like, "Oh, is it?" I know some people out there who like actually like how to be like, "Oh, that's part of the immersion of it." You know, you're actually in like a slow, cumbersome moving mech. It's like, that's great. I don't want to play that game.
All it does is once again, it reminds me how impractical a goddamn mech is.
Yeah. Again, like, make a fucking, like, there was one game I played a while back. I can't remember what the actual game was called. I think it was, like, X-Steel or something. But that was a mech multiplayer fighting game, like, multiplayer shooter game. And that game was fucking fun. Because you basically were fighting with Gundams.
Yeah, once again, the only time mechs would be practical in the real world is when you get them to the point of Gundam, of they're all fluid and shit, which would require some pretty advanced software and a lot of improvements in, you know, hydraulic hardware. In the end, it's a lot cheaper to build a fucking tank.
Or a bomb. You know, he's like, we need to, like, fight this area. It's like in the middle of nowhere. Just send in tanks. We have tanks, mechs, or a big-ass bomb. Throw the bomb at them. Mechs are a neat idea, but they're horribly impractical. Especially when they surf.
Remember, they call it lifting.
That is up with way too much meme potential. But anyway, Hawken, I didn't much care for it. It was way too slow for my taste. But moving on to another game that I just didn't really understand. Ace of Spades.
Okay.
So you know that? So you know all those FPS Minecraft mods there are out there?
Yeah.
This is its own game. It's a Minecraft first-person shooter mod that's basically its own game. So you just put on like two teams of, you know, X number of people on each team, and then you're thrown into an area. You choose a loadout of like your main weapon, sub weapon, special ability, and you also have a pick. Like you also have like a pick or shovel or something. And you just go into an area, and it's Minecraft, but you shoot people. And in terms of a shooter, again, it just moved really slowly, and there was barely any actual aiming or anything happening, so I couldn't exactly tell where any of my shots were going or anything. And I have a feeling that like the big selling point of it is, hey, build things. You know, like it's Minecraft, only you can die from shooting things. And you know that's fine and all. Like that's what I saw. That's what I basically saw people doing was just everyone digging down to the ground and then gathering up all the materials they need to start building shit everywhere. Like I barely saw anyone killing anyone. But yeah, I'm not that big a fan of Minecraft, so I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, and even then, I don't think Minecraft is real conducive to a first-person shooter.
No, it isn't. It's like, the reason that I think the Minecraft mods, like the first-person mods, worked kind of well was because, you know, it's the idea that someone actually took a game like Minecraft and turned it into an FPS. It's just pretty impressive in and of itself. It's like, oh, cool, man, this is so awesome! But this is like a really slow FPS developed around Minecraft. Whereas this one was the other ones were like an FPS developed within the constraints of Minecraft, if you understand what I'm meaning.
Yeah. Actually, I think one of the better things is taking other games and Minecraftifying them.
Yeah.
For example, Left 4 Dead 2, there is a mod where you can play in Minecraft, and so all the special infected are changed into different Minecraft monsters. And
are creepers boomers?
I believe creepers are boomers.
Yeah.
Skeletons are smokers. I know that. I can't remember the rest, but yeah. And, you know, that works well. You know, stuff looks like Minecraft, but it still operates like Left 4 Dead 2, so you still got a functional zombie shooter.
Okay, so and does it still run at like the same pace as Left 4 Dead 2, or does it run like Minecraft?
Yeah,
like
it's
the same,
basically
speed of Minecraft?
It's basically just changed the design of it and introduced some custom levels.
So it's basically a skin pack.
Essentially.
Okay. Yeah, that would work. Just keeping the regular mechanics of stuff, but then just, hey, look, Minecraft skin. But this is, hey, you know, Minecraft? Now guns. Woo! But yeah, so then, final game that I played, played some Arctic Combat. Well, final new game that I played, Arctic Combat. This is a free-to-play FPS that's available on Steam right now. And it's fine. None of the problems that I had with like the previous two FPS, like multiplayer FPSs that I played, apply to this one, because this is just kind of a standard FPS thing. You know, you have sprint, jumping, everything, and everything worked fine. But the one map that I played in, it had like low gravity and it had rocket launchers.
Well, that's always fun.
Yeah, and I did actually pretty well in it. Surprisingly well, actually. Like, I got, like, I think at one point I got, like, a 5-kill.
Awesome.
Yeah. But it was generic. That's kind of, like, the criticism that can be levied against a lot of, like, free-to-play FPSs online, is that they're just kind of generic. No matter how many fancy things you do, like, oh, hey, look, this one you play, like, a Super Mario level. This one you're, like, no gravity. This one you're, like, fucking you fire bullets out of your dick or something. They're all just generic.
Then some of them try to do almost too much. For example, PlanetSide 2,
mm-hmm.
where they're like, oh, it's such a grand scale. Well, wonderfully, you've made it at a grand scale. I spent 20 minutes running around not seeing anybody, then I get shot and die and have to respawn and do it all over again.
Yeah, like probably the best, recent free-to-play FPS that I played has been Tribes Ascend. Because it has like the huge open spaces of, you know, like a PlanetSide 2. And it doesn't have a lot to do in them, it has a way for you to get around real quickly, see where everyone is on the map, and be able to just get into the fight and just hold your own. Because that one you have, you know, your jetpack, you have the ski thing. And since everything's all like sloped, you're able to just like fucking slide down there, going like 200 miles an hour, launch off, and then like launch into a jetpack and just start firing explosive discs at people from the sky. Which was awesome. Oh, PlanetSide 2, it's like, hey, it's like Battlefield, but no one's playing it. Woo! All the funds. Yeah, it's... Art of Combat is just kind of boring. And I had a chance to play Natural Selection 2 this weekend, but fuck, I missed that. Which is a shame, because I really wanted to play fucking Natural Selection 2. It looks real cool, but I don't have the money for it. I think it's like $25 on Steam. Which,
that's pretty expensive.
Yeah, it is.
For a Steam game.
Yeah. So, and then finally, I also played some more Prototype 2. This game is getting so weird.
That is to be expected from Prototype.
Yeah, but specifically one of the things that's been really weird has been, you know, James Heller himself. Because when it starts out, he is just like gruff, serious, like, I'm a military man, no bullshit. I'm going to kill fucking Alex Mercer, everything's going to be awesome. But then the deeper we get into the game, the more he turns into the black guy. If you know what I mean. Like, not particularly, like, he's kind of a, it's weird. He's like a mixture between a black stereotype and the gruff black military stereotype.
So they can't even pick their stereotype.
He's still, like, growling and stuff, but then he's like, oh, shit, man, you did not just say that to me. Just doing, like, kind of standard, like, black guy talk. I'm probably going to sound horribly racist for this. Yeah, it just comes across.
You're just making me think of Tropic Thunder.
So imagine, like, the Tropic Thunder dialogue from, you know, Robert Downey Jr. toned down by, like, 3 levels. And then put into a modern military style dialect, like the way modern military guys are portrayed as talking. It's really gruff and gritty sounding. Like they all have really like hard-ons for Christian Bale's Batman.
Okay, so I'm getting a good idea in my head of what you're talking about.
Yeah, and so it's very weird because half the time the story is being taken like very seriously of this huge, really insane, fucking convoluted plot where Alex Mercer has like evolved a bunch of people, like infected them with the virus that gave them the powers, and put them in key positions inside of Gentech and Blackwatch with the two evil organizations that are behind the whole plague, and then they have to do something. I have no idea what the fuck Alex Mercer's plan is, aside from I'm going to just watch you and see what happens and then report back to me. And then I go on and kill everybody. And then there is everything that's happening with the fucking priest he's kind of like the priest from Machete, where he knows what's going on in the underground because stuff. He has like an underground network of a contact just feeding him information from everywhere in the city. And then there's this other person who's like the new CEO of Gentech, who's also an evolved, who's able to sense where other evolved are, and now she's not working for Alex Mercer anymore, and she's like constantly maybe flirting with me or talking in that kind of way, and then that just makes Heller more black. And the collar's still there, and it fucking bugs me.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be able to play that game just for the collar.
It's ridiculous! That collar's the size of his head! Seriously, put a shield on, like, put a piece of glass in front of that, and you wouldn't need a windshield in anything ever again. It's goddamn ridiculous. But the game is... It's starting to get a bit repetitive, but the game is still overall pretty fun. You know, you still just able to, like, run around, grab random people, just have them flailing around you as you're running up buildings and get thrown out of a helicopter. I have since gotten the blade, you know, like the giant like hand blade thing, and realized that it kind of sucks.
I love the blade.
Yeah, like the blade, it's good for individual. It's good for like group attack stuff because you're able to hold down the attack button, and just like spin around, just fucking slice everyone in half. But both the blade and the claws are shit against tanks and any kind of vehicle. You have to use the tentacles against vehicles.
That might be just a Prototype 2 thing because the blade is pretty awesome against tanks in
the first
game.
Yeah, no, like the blade. I think man, it got a bit nerfed. Because in this one, if you're like using your claws or the blade against tanks, like you'll just hit it and then you'll just like bounce off of it. It might do like chip damage to it, but not anything like really intense. You have to actually like use the black hole ability from the tentacles. Just you fire a thing at the tank, and then all of a sudden tentacles spray out from it, grab everything within the immediate area, like pieces of the ground, cars, people, mutants, other tanks, and just it all sucks it all in, and they all explode.
Actually, probably my favorite thing to use against tanks, I don't know if they still have it, but you could turn your fists into, like, giant pound thingies.
With the hammer fist?
Yeah, the hammer fist.
Yeah, I think I just got that.
Hammer fist is good for tanks.
Yeah, I think I'm actually able to do that, too. Like, I just go into the air, and then I'm able to, like, dive head first down like a fucking Superman. Just land right on top of the tank, and then just it causes giant spikes to fly out of the ground when I hit it.
Actually, probably one of my favorite of the weapons in Prototype 1 was probably everyone else's least favorite. Because it's pretty low-key. It's just the enhanced strength arm. So it doesn't give you blades, it doesn't give you hammer, it doesn't give you anything like that. It just makes your arms 100 times stronger.
I think I actually used those for a while.
Which at first, you know, doesn't seem like fun, but then you realize there's a tank, I'm going to throw a car at it. How am I going to kill people? I'm going to tear them in half with my bare fucking hands.
Yeah, I don't think I ever actually did any like the throwing things in this game, in like the original game. And even this game, I'm like relying more on guns, surprisingly enough. Like, especially when dealing with the Hydras. There's one mission where I had to go into a hive, you know, that is an underground area where all the infected are, and there was a Hydra guarding it. So what I did was, there was like a bunch of military dudes coming along shooting at it. What I did was go down there, like, ate like five of them, get my health back, grab all of their guns, jump back up onto a rooftop, and start jumping and shooting at it, and then avoiding like the fucking rocks and cars that's throwing at me. It's actually kind of cool because now when you jump on a tank, you're able to like hijack the tank, destroy the tank, or weaponize the tank, where you just like rip off one of its fucking like tow rocket launchers and just like carry that around with you. You're able to do the same thing with helicopters now. Like, I haven't gotten to the ability to hijack helicopters yet, but what I'm able to do is just go in there, destroy it, or just rip a gun off of it and just start shooting the helicopter with its own gun.
I must say though, once you get the ability to hijack helicopters, the most fun thing you could do is, you know, do a good leap, glide into the air, grab a helicopter, hijack it, then just let it drop.
Yeah, that's always fun. And actually, speaking of letting it drop, there's been multiple moments where... So usually what you have to do is after you complete a mission, you have to run away from the alarm, escape the alarm, and then as you... Like, you just turn it yourself, then it goes to a little cutscene. It's like, oh, hey, I escaped. It's awesome. And then you get a phone call, you turn back into yourself, and you start talking on the phone with someone. Half the time this happens, I'm on the roof of a building. And usually on one of those really tricky geometry roofs where there's a bit more to the roof than there actually is. Like if you know what I mean, where like it'll have a like little column thing that kind of like slants up at the top, but then that turns out the thing is actually a full triangle.
Right.
And so what it'll do, and I'll just be standing in there, and they'll just start talking on the phone, and all of a sudden it'll start sliding toward the edge, and they'll just drop down to the ground. But it'll do like, but the animation it gives is like him, you know, dropping off like a box where like his arms are just kind of slightly out and his jacket just kind of slightly puffed up. And then when I'm on the ground, and then I just land on the ground and everything's back to normal. Like there is no landing animation. It's just boom. Okay, how's it going? No one even reacts to it. There isn't even a crate. There isn't even like cracks in the ground. It's just like I was standing there. So it's like, oh, dear fuck, how's it going? And it's kind of hilarious every time it happens. It's one of the goddamn funniest things I've ever seen. And this is fucking hilarious. But yes, that's what I've been playing. Two really slow games, one kind of generic game, and two pretty awesome games.
All right.
Yes, Bubby, what have you been playing?
Well, first of all, I guess I'll talk briefly of my Left 4 Dead experiences.
Yes.
Because I'm doing videos of that now.
Yes, you can find them on DeathStoreProducts.com, and a week later on YouTube.com/BubbyWan.
Yep, first one just went up on the YouTube.
There's
been an entire week's worth of Left 4 Dead on the website. I'm actually going to be doing one every weekday until we've done every single campaign. And if a campaign is shorter than 5 legs, well, then there's going to be some filler, which you'll see this week because the campaign's only 2 legs.
Okay.
But anyways, yeah, Left 4 Dead. Went back and played some mutations I haven't played before, like Nightmare. Nightmare is survival with heavy fog and... well, heavy fog and no glow around objects, so you can't fucking find anything. Mm-hmm. And if you get separated from your teammates, you're pretty well fucked. And it's survival. Now, survival is the one mode I feel like the creators of Left 4 Dead, they didn't do a great job on it, either in 1 or 2. The main reason being that the waves don't progress in a good difficulty arc, or in a good progression of difficulty. It's just like, okay, there's some zombies, oh, by the way, tank, by the time you deal with that tank, there's another tank. It's just constant fucking tanks, and like, there's no good progression to it. It's just sort of like, there's not tanks, now there's tanks, and you're fucked.
Yeah, instead of a difficulty ramp, there's difficulty step.
Pretty much. And well, I don't mind there being a harder difficulty. I would like to work my way up to that harder difficulty. I'd like to see a good difficulty ramp.
Yes, yeah, like you start out with like regular zombies, then you add like one or two special infected, then like more special infected, then more and more, and then you get to like tank, and then 7 tanks. And then everything is tanks. Just a horde of tanks.
By the end, yes. But not right off the bat.
By the end, every single regular infected has been replaced with tanks. Every single special infected has been replaced with tanks. Every tank's been replaced with mega tanks. Where it's like they glued 3 tanks together. Left 4 Dead 3, coming soon.
I'm just imagining a tank running along, swinging its arms, only its arms are more tanks. Rawr, 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 rawr.
It's a tank made of tanks. That's it. That is the ultimate zombie. A tank made of tanks.
Ninja Kitty's giving me the oddest look right now.
And then it's a tank made of
your side of the conversation.
And then it's a tank made of tanks that is made of tanks. You just start getting like insane, like fucking exhibit level of tanking.
So anyways, imagine that no difficulty ramp survival mode. But you can't see anything.
Oh, fuck. I don't even like regular survival mode.
So anyways, yeah, that's what we were actually doing for the filler videos, so it's real enjoyable. We were joined briefly by our friend Phil Green.
Okay, I don't know him.
He's a fun individual. Hmm. He's a bit quiet in the video, though. Anyways, so yeah, there's that. I only really have one other thing to talk about, but I have a lot to talk about with it because I fucking finished it.
Okay.
And that is Mass Effect.
Mass Effect! Okay, what do you think of it?
Mass Effect was amazing, and I had this feeling at the end of it of just, what do I do with my life now?
Play Mass Effect 2.
It's coming. And I'm going to be like, Twitch streaming my entire experience because I don't feel like, you know, recording and cutting into sections because that would be take forever to play through Mass Effect 2 that way, and I want to play through it faster than that. So I'm just going to live stream it all, and it'll end up on YouTube eventually and shit like that, but...
Hmm.
But yeah, I'll be getting Mass Effect 2 soon. Soon, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as Kaz comes in to lend it to me.
Well, if you get the Mass Effect collection, you can get the Mass Effect 2 with all the DLC and all the downloadable characters and everything, so you get more content.
Yes, I'm aware.
I'll say the Mass Effect 1, because you can't get that DLC anymore.
Anyways, back to Mass Effect 1. But yeah, at the end of it, it's like, what do I don't have Mass Effect 2 yet. What do I do? Because I've invested so much time and so much emotion on my Shepard. I've become so invested in her and her crew and the character in general that it's like, oh my god, it's over. Well, it's not over, but like, there's a pause. It's to be continued. It's...
it's waiting for the next season.
Yeah, and as well, I invested, like, because I was so invested in the characters and everything, invested in their story, one of my life goals was defeat Saren. Just like, I want to take down Saren. This is something I need to accomplish with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've done it. And apparently the double tap wasn't sufficient. This is one case where it was not sufficient to double tap.
Yeah.
Because there was a double tap and it did not work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just wait until just with the Mass Effect games, like, I totally get what you're saying. Like, with Mass Effect 1, I played that, and I was like, oh yeah, fucking awesome. And then I got Mass Effect 2, and I just, like, plowed through that as fast as I could. I got through it, I think, like, 3 days.
Wow, that's, like, impressive.
Yeah, on top of like, labs and schoolwork and stuff, so. Yeah, and so, but with Mass Effect 3, I am not getting any of that. Like, I haven't played that game in months. Which I wonder if this is starting to be a trend with games, where when I get to the third one, I just won't care. Like, Mass Effect 3, Assassin's Creed 3, I just don't give a fuck. Like, Assassin's Creed 1 to Brotherhood, I was meticulous. I did literally every single thing possible in all of those games. Like, even, like Mass Effect 1, like, I mean, Assassin's Creed 1 and 2, I S-ranked both those games. I got 4,000 points. I collected every single thing in both those games and did everything I could. In Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, I did every single single... I got every single single player achievement there was to get. The only thing I didn't think it was multiplayer because I suck at multiplayer. But Assassin's Creed 3, I just don't care. Like, it has a similar thing in Brotherhood where, like, each sequence of each memory sequence has sub-objectives.
Yeah.
Get full sync, which is basically just 100%ing the mission. In Brotherhood, I would repeat a mission like 4 or 5 times, just trying to get those fucking things. Like with the Leonardo da Vinci DLC, when I had to go and like get all his weapons, I repeated the tank stage like a dozen goddamn times, trying to S rank it, trying to get full sync on that thing, and I finally did. But with Assassin's Creed 3. Like, the first couple missions, I was like, okay, oh, fuck that, I gotta restart. But now, this one, I'm just, fuck it, I don't care. It's true,
well,
they wipe you out.
Well, I'm sure when I get to Mass Effect 3, I'll still be invested, because I have never cared about a video game character more than I've cared about Commander Shepard.
Well, it's probably because I'm playing without my Shep.
Oh, yeah, you had issues with your Shep, didn't you?
Yeah, I lost my Shep!
Oh.
I lost Rachel Shep.
Well, that would do it. That would do it. by the way, I'm not playing for achievements. I would like to point that out. I do not play for achievements. Some people are like, oh, you have to choose either Renegade or Paragon and go full right from the beginning to get the achievement. I'm like, I don't give a fuck!
Yeah, I usually play for achievements after I've beaten the game.
Yeah, like...
like, I'll play through the game... I'll play through the game once, just, you know, regular. Just, oh, I'm here enjoying the game, huh? Everything's fun. You know, if there's an achievement that I feel like I can get without distracting too much from the story, I'll go and try to get it. But then, after that, I'm just, okay, if I'm really invested, just, okay, every achievement, let's go.
The one thing I find, though, is, even with the gameplay mechanic of having to be Renegade or Paragon in order to intimidate or charm, I didn't understand it well enough. I actually ended up going more Renegade than I had to, because I always wanted to use Intimidate, because I was primarily Renegade.
Okay.
But there were times when I could have done non-Renegade things when I probably might have, but for the most part, I made the choices that I, or at least my character, would have made, because I kind of, I set her up as a character. You know, she mostly does things the quickest, most efficient way, which often involves a lot of casualties and not always stay on the moral high ground, but she does have a moral compass.
Yeah, my Shep was a bit more of a diplomat, but if she didn't like you, she would fuck you up.
The one thing I got real disappointed with was there's this one mission where these colonists are infected by the Thorian, and there's these special this grenade attachment you can get in order to make your grenades cure them rather than murdering them, which was a wonderful idea. Here's the issue I had. When I got them, my inventory was full. And because of the way the game mechanic works, you can't go into your inventory until you deal with the stuff that's waiting to go into your inventory. So I couldn't go into my inventory, reduce some of the stuff I don't need to Omnigel, and then let that in so I could save more people. No, I had to reduce it to Omnigel to even access my inventory. So, like, I really wanted to do the right thing. I did save a good number of civilians just by letting myself take a few hits, running up to them, and rifle-butting them. But, that being said, there were some pretty well-armed colonists, so I did have to shoot them, which, once again, they're not armored. They die pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. There's dudes.
Now, with the cultists, I didn't care, because I'm like, I hate religious nut jobs. Bam! Bam! I just murdered everybody.
As you rightfully should have.
Because I'm like, they're cultists. They're religious nut jobs. They're going to give us problems in the future, so I'm not going to leave a single one left. There will be no more problems from this group.
Yeah. Take that, cult! Ha ha! I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry. So, moving on.
I think I had more of a point, but I don't remember what it was. Anyways, yeah, I played my Shepherd as a character, so it allowed me to get truly invested in her as a character. I do feel like my romance with Caden was a little bit forced, but let's be honest. My only thought when Shepard had sex with Caden was, that's right, Ashley, you're dead and I'm fucking Caden. I win.
Yeah, my thought was, I should have chosen Liara. Because Caden was just kind of boring.
I said this from the beginning. I found out Ashley was interested in Caden. I'm like, that's it. I'm going to fuck Caden. Out of spite.
You don't even care. You don't even care about it. Just, hey, Ashley. Check this picture.
She's dead. I still don't care. It's like, no. She's dead? Fuck the dead one. She believes in heaven, so let her watch from heaven.
Yeah, just, you know, just record a video, then put the hollow disk in her coffin. like, hey, Ashley, that's something for you. Or it was like everyone's like going by, like, to say their things. She just like go to her, like whispers, like, I fucked Caden. And just walk away. Then as soon as she's dead, as soon as you do it, it's like, hey, Caden, fuck off. I'm going to go do Liara now. Peace.
Liara, forget that. Once we get into Mass Effect 2, Garrus.
Yes. Garrus is nice.
Talking about Mass Effect has to be the gayest this podcast ever gets.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because we both play FemShep.
Oh, yeah.
There's a good reason for her to be emotionally invested in Garrus. They've been through a lot of shit together.
Garrus is awesome. And in Mass Effect 3, you can be gay.
Yes, should you choose to play Male Shep, which, why the fuck are you playing Male Shep?
Yeah, but unfortunately you can't be gay with Garrus. You can only be gay with the shuttle pilot. Which is stupid. Why not try to seduce Garrus? Maybe Turians are bi-curious.
I don't think Garrus is, though.
You don't know. Have you ever tried hitting on him as Male Shep?
I've never been Male Shep. I don't care about Male Shep.
So you don't know. For all you know, you could hit on him as Male Shep and, you know,
get shut down.
Get some of that Tura dick. We spent way too much time talking about Garrus' dick in this podcast. Moving on.
Two podcasts in a row now. Garrus' dick.
Moving on.
Yeah, what else can I say about Mass Effect? You know, the side missions actually weren't too annoying. And, oh, when I helped Tali with her pilgrimage, it was kind of accidental. Basically, what happened is that Alliance Command gave me this mission to go through this one cluster and clear out a bunch of geth outposts. And I did. And I went through and I cleared all the geth outposts and I found this data disk, this data holodisk that had information pertaining to the geth. It's like, oh, maybe you should take this to Tali. And I go to Tali and she's like, oh, thanks, you've helped me with my pilgrimage. I'm going to take this back to the flotilla now. I'm like, well, I'm glad I could help you with your
mission
pilgrimage,
accomplished.
Which I was trying to figure out how to do before, but you wouldn't talk to me about it, and now I've accidentally helped you with it.
All in a day's work for Shepard!
I'm gonna go fuck Caden now.
And I'll make Ashley watch. I'll just put her corpse up there. Just put that in, like, active camo. So she can watch while her dead body can watch. In case you haven't noticed, in case you haven't noticed, me as Shepard is kind of fucked up.
You as Shepard, yeah, you are kind of fucked up.
Well, true, but I pass it on to my Shepard, making her kind of a sociopath. There's cognitive dissonance between what I have her do on screen and what I'm actually thinking about doing. Because
it's funny, my Shepard's a bit of a sociopath too, but like she always has a good reasoning for everything she does.
Yeah, I play my Shepard as, like, as Paragon as I can. Because, you know, that's the character I wanted to set up as. But then every once in a while, just part of me seeps through and I just go renegade for a second.
Actually, that's been happening a lot with... a lot of times I've been on Xbox Live talking to Kaz as we're both playing our respective Mass Effect games. Myself playing Mass Effect 1, her playing Mass Effect 2. And I hear her talking about all this renegade shit she's doing. I'm like, aren't you going Paragon? And she's like, yeah, I know, but sometimes renegade is fun.
Sometimes you just need to.
Why do you think I'm so renegade?
Sometimes you just need to. Like, even... like, you can try to be, like, the... you can try to be, like, the fucking new Jesus, the Scion of the Galaxy. But every once in a while, even Jesus flipped the fuck out. So, you know, just...
yeah, but... me? Honestly, I have the most fun just leaving a blood-soaked trail through the galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's kind of more of a, like, just for that aspect of the story, you know? A lot of people, they play, like, a lot of people like you, they play it, you know, just, oh, we'll just answer it honestly. But then some people like me, they just kind of, you know, they will just try to play the character like this kind of character.
Well, I'm not exactly playing Shepard like me, I'm kind of playing her, like I said, as the character I set up, and, you know, she leaves a pretty bloody trail through the galaxy, but... she kills someone. She usually has good reason for it.
Yeah,
she doesn't like paperwork. That's actually something for myself. I don't like paperwork. So I'm thinking, she wouldn't like any red tape involved, so why not make it simpler and just kill the fuckers?
Yeah, my chef does her fair share of killing, too. But she does it a bit more sadistically because she, you know, sets people on fire. And, you know, freezes them so that she can then run up and hit them and then smash them into little tiny pieces.
I always use the chemical rounds.
Yeah, just
I'm all about those chemical rounds.
I, For the longest time, I was nothing but incendiary rounds, just watching people just freak out. I was like, oh God, it's burning on fire! Jesus Christ! Which, thinking back on it, slightly different context, that could have been a scene from Spec Ops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it for what I've been playing. I don't think I have anything else to say about Mass Effect. Until okay. I'll be playing the second one soon!
Okay, cool. So those are what we've been playing then. On to news. So, first piece of news this week. A Steam box has been revealed, kind of. So, this thing. So, computer people, XI3, have announced the Piston. The first living room PC that's supported by Valve. So it's basically a Steam box. Like, XI3 has been saying, you know, hey, we're not calling this a Steam box, but it's a Steam box. So the system comes with a 3.2 GHz AMD Trinity quad-core processor, 8 gigs of RAM, a Radeon 7000 series GPU, and an internal 128 GB SSD. That is the standard pack, and that'll run you about $1,000. So it's a bit hefty.
Yeah, I think I'd rather build a gaming PC at that point.
Yeah, and obviously 128 isn't exactly, you know, a good size for a memory thing. So they have the ability to upgrade to a 256 gig or a 512 gig SSD, and that'll bump up the price by $340 and $750 respectively. So currently the Piston is currently up for pre-order on XI3 site, and the company is hoping to ship by holiday season this year. And if you had gotten a chance to pre-order it before March 17th, then you could have gotten $100 off the price. Still fucking expensive, but, you know, $100 is $100.
Once again, I think I'd rather build a gaming PC.
Yeah, you know, some people out there are too stupid to build a gaming PC. See, I was like, okay, so spend time buying the individual parts of building it, or buy this box.
You know, there are places that sell pre-built gaming PCs.
Again, people are stupid. So, moving on to our next piece of news. Payday 2, the sequel to Payday the Heist, is set for release this summer. Woo.
I never played the first one.
I did. I didn't like it. But hey, maybe this will be better. I don't know. I'll probably try it out. You know, contact Sony, I guess, so we see if I can actually contact 505 since they're the one publishing this game this time. See if I can get my hands on it. But anyway, since the first game was published by SOE, it was only released on PC and PS3. But since then, the developer Overkill was purchased by Starbreeze, and they've changed publishers for the sequel. The sequel is being published by 505 Games. It'll be released on PC, PS3, and Xbox 360. So, have at it, Internet. Moving on to our next piece of news. Rebellion has announced the sequel to Sniper Elite V2, Sniper Elite 3. Ooh, 3.
They kind of changed their numbering system, didn't they?
Yeah, instead of having a pun title. Because, you know, Sniper Elite V2 was about V2 rockets. Woo. But anyway, so they released a title card for it, and presumably the game will be taking place in Africa. So Jason Kingsley, the CEO of developer Rebellion, said the following about the game. Sniper Elite V2 was just the beginning of what we want to do with the franchise. There are things we didn't have time to do before that we can really look at featuring this time. We want to focus on making this latest incarnation of Sniper Elite more of a sandbox game and also build on the awesome X-ray kill cam and the atmospheric World War II setting. We're looking forward to seeing what Sniper Elite fans and gamers in general make the latest chapter of the story. So, had you played the Sniper Elite V2? Like, any of it?
No.
I played the demo for it, and it was fun enough. It was interesting. You know, just with the kill cam, it was pretty cool. But I didn't find the game particularly engaging. But who knows, Sniper Elite 3 may be better.
It's always possible.
So anyway, Sniper Elite 3 is set for release in 2014 for current and next-gen consoles as well as PC. And I just noticed that within this article, I put Sniper Elite 3 as like the Roman numeral for 3 and just a regular number 3. Whoops.
Continuity fail.
So, moving on to Race News. Over on the Injustice Gods Among Us Twitter account, at Injustice Game, they tweeted a picture of the next playable character for the game. It's Black Adam. For those who don't know, Black Adam is the nemesis of Shazam, formerly Captain Marvel, who's basically Captain Marvel but Egyptian. You know, he says Shazam, and then gets powers based on the Egyptian pantheon of gods and heroes and stuff. Whereas Captain Marvel, I guess Shazam now, got his from the Greek pantheon. This is me in the game. I'm guessing he's like part of the villain camp because, you know, while he is a villain, he was a hero for a little while. You know, when he was the leader of a country and had a wife. But then stuff happened. That's way too complicated right now. But anyway, Black Adam's going to be in Justice Gods Among Us. We haven't seen any gameplay of him yet, so we don't know exactly what kind of character he'll be, but I'm guessing he'll play similar to Shazam. So moving on to Rex's News.
The powers are so similar, obviously, yes.
Yeah, so moving on to Rex's News. Saints Row 4 is a thing! Fuck
awesome
yeah!
Awesome if you follow the Saints Row games, which I don't.
You should. Saints Row the Third was amazing. There was a dildo bat.
Yes, I keep hearing about the dildo bat.
There were giant fists that turned people into red paste. There was a mask that let you taunt people and set them on fire with your taunt. One of the mini games had Hulk Hogan put you in a car with a tiger to make you braver. It's so good. But anyway, so late last year, THQ, who is the publisher of the previous Saints Row games, collapsed into itself and it sold off all their studios and IPs. And for a while, it wasn't clear like what the new studios that own these, like what the new publishers that own these studios and IPs were intending to do with them. But Deep Silver, the company that acquired Volition and the Saints Row IP, have announced that they are in fact publishing a new Saints Row game that will be coming out this summer. So the game is still being developed by Volition, sorry, who are the guys who made the first three games. And it will also have ideas brought into the game from the canceled expansion pack Enter the Dominatrix. So a spokesperson from Deep Silver told Joystick that, quote, "That expansion was canceled and elements of it were rolled into Saints Row 4. There will be a director's cut of Enter the Dominatrix released as DLC when SR4 comes out." Which is fucking awesome. So Saints Row 4 is set for release on August 20th in North America and August 23rd everywhere else for the PC and current-gen consoles, presumably the 360 and PS3. Deep Silver confirmed that there will not be a Wii U version. They also released a trailer, which is really fucking awesome. It's a great trailer. You guys should definitely check it out. Moving on to our next piece of news. Clay Entertainment has announced that they're going to be releasing a special edition DLC pack for their game Mark of the Ninja. This was one of my favorite games of 2012. My review is still up on the site right now. You can definitely check it out. It is a fantastic game. Subpar review with a fantastic score. Because that subpar review was the quality of my review, not the actual content of the review. My review sucks.
I understood what you meant.
Yeah, but people out there might not have. But I thought, oh, you gave the game a bad review, then why are you saying it's one of your favorite games? Yeah. Well, that's... probably wouldn't be doing that. That assumes people actually listen to this podcast.
People listen to this podcast. Don't tell me I'm doing this for nothing.
Yeah, so anyway, the DLC will be adding a new flashback level where you play as Dosan, the tattoo artist who gave you your magical ninja ink tattoo in the main game. The level will be taking place before the events that happen in the game, and as the press release says, set the stage for events that transpire in Mark of the Ninja. The pack will also add a new play style, which will have non-lethal takedowns and a combination of lethal and non-lethal approaches to the game. And two new items will be added. One will be more focused on stealth, while the other will be a bit more direct with a thing, and actually an offensive weapon. Both of the items and the play style will be accessible in the main game, as well as in the new mission. Finally, there will also be developer commentary nodes scattered throughout levels in the main game. The commentary notes will discuss different parts of the game's creation, stories from the game's development, some history lessons about, you know, Japanese history and stuff, as well as some other behind-the-scenes things. The commentaries will be available in English, French, Italian, German, Spanish, and Japanese. While no firm release date has been set yet, the special edition DLC for Mark of the Ninja will be coming this summer to XBLA and Steam. Price hasn't been set yet, but I'm guessing it might be around like $10. You know, if I had to venture a guess.
Yeah, good estimate.
Yeah. So, moving on to our next piece of news. NetherRealm has announced a season pass for Injustice Gods Among Us. So the season pass costs $15, or about 1,200 Microsoft points, and will include four characters for the price of three according to the press release. So, you know, each character's gonna be $5. There'll also be three bonus costumes, which included for Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Deathstroke. And these costumes will be inspired by their Flashpoint personas. Flashpoint, for those who don't know, is a like miniseries type thing, like a story arc that happened before the DC universe relaunched and rebooted itself with the New 52. In this one, Deathstroke has a beard. Aquaman is like a weird traitor thing fighting against the King of Atlantis fighting a war against the Amazons, and the Amazons are evil. All because the Flash never got his powers.
Seriously, how does the Flash never getting his powers do all that?
I don't know.
Actually, like, you know what? Don't answer it.
Zoom went back in time and changed things. Like in that universe, like Bruce Wayne got murdered, his dad became Batman, and his mom became the Joker. Which was fucking awesome. Seriously, it was one of the coolest goddamn things in that entire series. So anyway, moving on to our next piece of news. Jack and Daxter collection will be coming with the PS Vita. Woo.
Sweet.
I don't know. I just want to report this because I love the Jack and Daxter games. They're some of my favorite games for the PS2, and they're gonna be getting another re-release, which is good because they haven't gotten a lot of like service recently. Like the most recent new Jack and Daxter game was the PSP one. Which, you know, kind of sucks, because Jack and Daxter, man, those were good games. But, you know, Naughty Dog went off and made fucking Uncharted, and they forgot all about Jack and Daxter. That's off the Ready at Dawn. Ready at Dawn did nothing with it. It was like, hey, look, the Xbox 360 and PS3 are out right now. Let's release a game on the PSP and PS2.
Yeah, totally a good choice.
Yeah. So moving on to our next piece of news. So some time ago, Gearbox teased a new character that will be coming to the game Borderlands 2. That character has officially been revealed. So he is the Psycho class. His name is Krieg. He has a buzzsaw axe and is described as a badass melee brawler with psychotic multiple personalities. Players will be able to stack combat bonuses with him, like the character's Bloodlust, his mania, and Hellborn skill trees. This will be coming in the Psycho Pack, which will be $10, released on April 2nd, sorry. And it'll raise the level cap to 61. So, woo.
Awesome if you play Borderlands 2.
Which I am. And, you know, okay. At some point, I might actually consider getting the DLC. Like, if I get, like, the Game of the Year edition or something. But for now, I'm just kind of bleh. But I will say this. I do like the fact that Gearbox and everything, like, raised the level cap in one of the games. They raise it by 11. Like, did the same thing with the first one. Like, they turned the level cap up by 11. Because it goes from 50 to 61. Yay.
Victory.
Yeah, and so on top of that, Gearbox also announced that they're going to be releasing the fourth campaign DLC for Borderlands 2 by the end of June this year. The studio wasn't ready to show anything off at their PAX East panel, but they did show a little teaser video. So the video starred a few Borderlands characters as they played a game of Bunkers and Badasses, which is, you know, a Borderlands spoof of Dungeons and Dragons. Tiny Tina, who is a character that's like gotten a lot of shit recently for, you know, talking in like fake jive, which it's really not that big of a deal. Like I've met the character, seen her. There's nothing wrong with what she does. She's actually pretty awesome. So anyway, Tiny Tina was the dungeon master, and she explained the rules of the game. Well, they killed time waiting for Borderlands 2. Well, you know, like they played the game to kill time while waiting for the Borderlands 2 Vault Hunters to fight Hyperion. So this may be some kind of tabletop RPG add-on thing. Which would be interesting to see how they work that into the fucking Borderlands universe. So moving on to next week's news. Hyperkin has revealed their new console, the Retron 5. Which is actually a kind of amazing thing. So what this is, it is a console that plays NES games, SNES games, Genesis games, Game Boy Advance games, and Famicom games. Famicom, if you know.
Oh, fuck yes.
Famicom, for those who don't know, is the Japanese NES. You see, NES games have 72 pins, Famicom games have 60 pins in their connectors. So yeah, I don't know, but it's fucking awesome. So it's able to support all those games, and actually, not just Game Boy Advance games, but also Game Boy and Game Boy Color games.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah, this is all like streamed to your TV with an HDMI connection. It has the controller ports for the NES, SNES, and Genesis, as well as its own wireless Bluetooth controllers. The company plans to make these controllers remappable and usable cross-platform for all the games, but those features are still in the works for the thing. The console upscales old games to HDMI with special image processing to make them look decent on HD screens. It has save states like emulators with an SD card slot to store saves. And furthermore, you can speed up gameplay and remap the Bluetooth buttons to control these features, which is awesome. So while there is not a firm release date or price yet, Hyperkin is hoping to release the console by around July for less than $100. Ah! It's gonna
be awesome.
Less
than $100 for a console that plays all of that is amazing. I mean, like, a NES or a SNES, it's like $45 each. You're already up to $90 there.
Yeah, I know, dude. It's
so, like, it's less than $100 to be able to play all those games. And as I said to you before the podcast, I'm gonna end up buying Zelda again.
I'm just gonna buy this thing, you know, just cause. I just want it. Yeah, I probably won't even buy it to Gizmore. I'll just fucking have it just around. Because it'll be awesome. So moving on to our next piece of news. Do you remember a while back when Double Fine did that whole Kickstarter thing for an adventure game?
Yeah.
They've announced what that adventure game is. So they revealed this at their PAX East panel today, earlier this week. And it was revealed to be a game called Broken Age. The website for the game is up live now, which has art and plot information for the rest of us who weren't just in the Kickstarter, were just the Kickstarter backers, because this information has been revealed to them already, but it hasn't been revealed to us. So the website is brokenagegame.com, so you can check it out there. But the plot synopsis from the thing is, and I quote, Broken Age is a point-and-click adventure game telling the stories of a young boy and girl leading parallel lives. The girl has been chosen by her village to be sacrificed to a terrible monster, but she decides to fight back. Meanwhile, a boy on a spaceship is living a solitary life under the care of a motherly computer, but he wants to break free and lead adventures and do good in the world. Adventure ensues. So that sounds pretty interesting. So pre-orders are currently available on the site and provide access to backer-only forums, as well as all the past and future episodes of the documentary series about Broken Age's development to play, which is done by Two Player Productions. We were the guys who did Indie Game the Movie. So that's pretty cool. They finally announced what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So moving on to our final piece of news. A new MOBA game has been announced based in the DC Universe. Actually, the DC Multiverse. So the game is called, Infinite Crisis. And the game will be, and in the game you'll be able to play as multiple versions of classic DC characters from multiple different universes. So the press release says about the game, Infinite Crisis is a new entrant into the wildly popular MOBA genre that delivers a heart-pounding competitive player-versus-player battle experience set in the legendary DC multiverse, a world in which familiar DC comic characters have been reimagined in a startling ways. Featuring a wide variety of DC Comics heroes and villains, Infinite Crisis puts players in control of twisted incarnations of their favorite characters throughout the multiverse, such as Nightmare Batman and Gaslight Catwoman, playing in a league with well-known characters including Green Lantern and The Flash. So far the characters that have like been confirmed for the game are Nightmare Batman, where he's a fucking vampire, Doomsday, The Flash, Gaslight Batman, where he is, you know, steampunk and shit, Gaslight Catwoman, Gaslight Joker, Green Lantern, Poison Ivy, Shazam, Joker from like the main universe, Wonder Woman, and Zatanna. Those are the characters that have been confirmed now. You can check out the game at infinitecrisis.com, and there's also a place to sign up for the beta, which is just infinitecrisis.com/beta-application. But yeah, I'm definitely gonna be checking this game out. I've said before, like I've said to you, Bobby, that I don't really play MOBA games. But this one will probably get me there, because it looks fucking awesome.
I don't play a lot of MOBA games either, but I have enough experience that I would probably enjoy this.
I have no experience.
Fucking Nightmare Batman.
Fucking Nightmare Batman, dude. You'll play as Vampire Batman. What's not to love?
Only way they can make it better. Playable character, Bat-Lantern.
Yes.
Seriously, start, I want a game with Bat Lantern as a playable character.
Start getting like the really insane, like just fucking Elseworld stories where, hey, what if Superman was raised by the Russians?
Better Elseworld story would be Superman being raised by wolves.
Yeah, I know. Like, hey, what if, I don't know, they start getting really weird and like accidentally going to like the Marvel universes where who won't wield the shield, where like Deadpool has Captain America's shield or something. Just something retarded. Four Bushman gets in there. But anyway, those are for news. On to new releases. So first up for this week, the week of March 26th, we have, coming out on March 24th, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon for the Brick of Shit and Brick of Shitware. BioShock Infinite for the PS3, 360, and PC. Army of Two, Devil's Cartel for the Xbox 360 and PS3. And another Tiger Woods game. Oh, also, something James will be excited about. Slender the Arrival. Coming out on PC and Mac. So, you know, if you're
yes,
a fan of...
I've heard a lot of hype over this particular Slender game.
Yeah, because it's like the one that's like all big and shit. Like, oh, hey, look, we actually have money now, so we actually made a good game that looks like a game and not other thing. Something stupid, I don't know. Yeah. So hey, moving on to next week, the week of April 2nd. We have Ninja Gaiden 3, Razor's Edge. Defiance. Well, actually, so Ninja Gaiden 3 is coming out for Xbox 360 and PS3. Defiance, coming out for PC, Xbox 360, and PS3. Defiance is that weird thing that's like a cross-promotional thing where there's like the game coming out and there's also a TV series coming out in sci-fi.
Right.
Which is okay. I'll probably end up contacting the publisher, see if I can get a copy of that.
That's Dead Man lingo for, I kind of want to try this game, but I really don't want to pay for it.
Oh yeah, totally. Fuck paying for this. Yeah, I could probably get it for PC since it's an MMO shooter. But anyway, so we also have coming out Battle Block Theater on April 3rd for the Xbox Live Marketplace. This is the third game from the Behemoth, the developers of Castle Crashers and other things. Alien Hominid. Did they do something else? No, just Alien Hominid and the fucking Castle Crashers. And then finally, we have Tokitori 2 coming out for the Wii U on April 4th. So yeah, this is a sequel to Tokitori, which I never played.
Neither did I. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, it has weird little bird things in it. I just mentioned it because it seemed like something important to mention.
It probably has a very devoted fan base.
Yeah. Yeah, it needed to in order to get like a fucking sequel, because you need to he at least made like $5 in order for like a publisher to think getting a sequel out there. I'm guessing. You know, why else would there be a Homefront 2 coming out? So anyway, that's going to do it for this week, I guess. Yeah. Thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow us site on Twitter. You can follow us at DeathStoolProds. I am at Deadman_DDProds, and we have at Bovion. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/DeathStoolProds. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/DeathStoolProds, vids for myself and James, and youtube.com/Bovion for Bovion. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us some reviews, let us know we want to see more of us, etc. And we're also on Stitcher now, so you can check us out on there, download the app, and check us out for podcasts and other stuff. Like, we do a lot of podcasts and commentaries and everything. And we are also on DeviantArt. So you can check that out at destoprods.deviantart.com. Ninja Kitty's usually posting something.
Usually.
Yeah. This week on the website, we're going to be having the anime podcast as well as another episode of the Anime Club this Thursday. This week we're going to be taking a look at episodes 3 and 4 of Samurai Champloo. Then this Friday we're going to be wrapping up Resident Evil Month with Resident Evil Retribution. Then there will be no anything cast this Sunday because of Easter. So sorry. But then we'll be having comics next Wednesday, movies next Friday, as well as a new commentary track for April. And that will be the week that I will finally be writing that fucking Personal Issues. No, I've started writing it.
Okay.
Yeah. But unfortunately, it won't actually be a comparative review. It will be, like, one week I'll be doing the review of the comic, next week I'll be doing the review of the movie, as well as the comparison between the two of them and seeing which one I like better. Because I tried, I honestly did try to sit down and just try to, like, write about each of them in tandem. Like, I was planning to do, but I just realized I couldn't, because there was enough difference within, like, the beginnings of those things that everything would just get really confusing if I actually tried to do that.
Right.
So yeah, it's going to be comic first, then movie, with comparisons. Yeah, probably don't hold me to that comic thing coming out next week. It'll be soon, though. Soon. Yes. But, until all that stuff I just mentioned, I'm the Deadman.
I'm Obi-Wan.
We'll see you guys next time.